and chapter 15. And once you've found 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll begin reading in verse 51. And this, of course, is the Apostle Paul writing, and he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God and for the truth that is conveyed to us through it. And I pray that this morning you will open up our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to your truth. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us today. I pray that everybody here will receive something from the Word of God that will be not only a blessing to them, but an encouragement to them as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we live in a society that has become shockproof. I mean, so many unusual, disturbing, horrible, and surprising things have happened in our society that now nothing seems to shock us anymore. For example, we have men who now surgically have become women. And we have women who now surgically have become men. It was in the news this very week about a mother and son in Michigan who are now going to become a father and daughter in Michigan. Now, I know some folks in our day and age think this kind of stuff is supposed to be normal and acceptable. But can I be honest with you this morning? To me, it's very abnormal and unacceptable. Something is horribly wrong with those who do it, and something is horribly wrong with those who think it's all right to do it. Now, how do I know that? It's because to think that God placed a male or a female in the wrong body, you would have to say that God made a big mistake. And God makes no mistakes. He is perfect. But again, we live in an age in which nothing seems to shock us anymore. In our day, many things are being done that couldn't be done before. One of those things that people can do is completely alter the way they look simply by having plastic surgery. Not too long ago, I watched a documentary on the demand of plastic surgery in our society. And what made the documentary so interesting was that they were showing what we consider some of the most attractive people in Hollywood who are not happy with their bodies. And they're paying big bucks to have their bodies changed because they're so unhappy with them. One actress was asked if she was embarrassed by the way people talk about her being a sex symbol. And she says, no, it costs a lot of money for me to look like this. But listen, sooner or later, we have to come to the realization that the body that we live in, these bodies, are like cars in that they deteriorate over the years. And our bodies deteriorate over the years in such a way that after a while, we become unrecognizable. And if you find that hard to believe, just go to your next class reunion. I met a guy one time, he had to be in his 70s, and he told me that he never plans to go to another class reunion because the only people there are old people. But I have some good news for every child of God. When the rapture of the church takes place, some wonderful things are going to take place, and one that we all look forward to is receiving our glorified bodies. At that point, we're going to receive a complete makeover. We will receive our glorified bodies, it says in this passage, in the twinkling of an eye. And the twinkling of an eye, we're told, is 100,000th of a second. 100,000th of a second. Or, if you live in Rhode Island, it's the time it takes for the light to turn green and the guy behind you to blow his horn. That's how fast, right? Look at this verse again, verses 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And once Christians receive their glorified bodies, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the crippled will walk, the diseased will be cured. This is the first thing that will take place at the rapture of the church. And Paul refers to this here as a mystery. A mystery. And that's because we don't know exactly how it's going to take place. But we do know how fast it's going to happen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And you'll notice it doesn't say in the wink of an eye. Now that would be fast, but it says in the twinkling of an eye. And again, that's 100,000th of a second. And one of these days, we who are believers in Jesus Christ are going to receive our new glorified bodies just that fast. And every Christian should be excited about that. Why? Because these mortal bodies that we live in are constantly giving us problems. And this morning, I want to look at some of the things the Bible teaches about the glorified body. And I have to tell you, the more I learn about this, the more excited I become. So what kind of body will we receive? Well, first of all, it will be a body like the body of Christ. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And it says this, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." So the word of God says we're going to be changed from our vile bodies into glorified bodies like his. Now that word vile comes from a Greek word that means to be made low. That is, the old sinful flesh that we live in is so vile that there's nothing it will not stoop to do if it's allowed to. For example, I read in the newspaper just recently about a strong man that took a helpless woman into the woods and raped her, and when he was through, he brutally killed her. I read about two men who went into a 7-Eleven store and killed an elderly man and woman for the money that was in the cash register. I read about a man who violated his own children sexually. I'm here to tell you that this mortal body we live in is vile, and there is no limit to how low it will go if it's allowed to, if it's left to its own devices. The Word of God tells us that, and life in general tells us that these bodies we live in are vile. As a matter of fact, there are times I read of what people have done in these vile bodies, and I'm ashamed that I belong to the human race. You know, the world out there teaches that we came from monkeys, but what an insult to the poor monkeys. What an insult. Have you heard the poem about the three monkeys? It goes like this. Three monkeys sat in a coconut tree discussing the things that are said to be. Said one to another, "Now listen, you two. There's a certain rumor, but it can't be true, that man descended from our noble race. Why, the very idea, it's a disgrace. No monkey ever deserted his wife, starved her babies, and ruined her life. Nor did ever a mother monk leave her babies with others to bunk or pass them on from one to another till they scarcely knew who was their mother. And another thing you'll never see, a monkey building a nest around a coconut tree and let the coconuts go to waste, forbidding all other monkeys to have a taste. Why, if I build a fence around a coconut tree, starvation would cause me to distribute to thee. Here's another thing that a monkey won't do. Go out at night and get on a stew, or use a gun, a club, or knife to take another monkey's life. Yes, man descended that ornery cuss, but brother, he didn't descend from us." Well, there is nothing on this earth that is as vile as we mortals when we are left to our own devices. But one of these days, the rapture is going to take place, and I'm going to receive a glorified body that is not controlled by the flesh, but is controlled by the Spirit of God. If you got your Bible still open to 1 Corinthians 15, look at verses 45 through 49. It says, "And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam, that's the Lord Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, earthy, so are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." And so from the first Adam, we all received a body of flesh that is vile. But from the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have a body like his. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We're going to receive a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. As we said in Philippians 3:21, it says it's a body that's fashioned like unto his glorious body. No more sickness, no more aches and pains, no more death, no more sinful tendencies, no more making mistakes, no more bad words or thoughts or deeds. None of those things will ever be associated with our glorified body. We will have a glorified body, and it will be, as we read, like the body of Christ. Now, the second thing I want you to notice this morning is that it will be a body of flesh and bones. Remember, the Word of God says our bodies are going to be fashioned after the body of Christ. Well, what kind of body did he have? Well, think about this. Think about what Jesus said about his body after his resurrection when he appeared to his disciples. In Luke 24:39, he says this, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." Now, this verse of scripture took place after the Lord had received his glorified body. And it's a body that has substance. Notice he said there that it's a body we can see. He said, "Behold, look at my hands and my feet." It's a body we can touch. He said, "Handle me." And it's a body with flesh and bones. He said, "For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." So what kind of body will our glorified bodies be? It will have flesh and bones. The bones give our body height and depth, and the flesh gives our body its appearance. Now, a question that is often asked is, will we be able to recognize each other in heaven? And the answer to that question is yes. I remind you again that the glorified body that we're going to receive is going to be fashioned after the glorified body of Christ. And when Christ appeared unto the disciples in his glorified resurrection body, they recognized him. He didn't have to go up to them and reintroduce himself to them. They knew him. When he appeared before them, they knew him. So our glorified body will be recognizable. You see, when I get to heaven, my body will be fashioned after his body, but I won't be cloned to look like Christ. My body will be still recognizable. I will be recognized for who I am. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, it says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. But now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." You see, I'll have the characteristics of my Heavenly Father, but at the same time, I'll be different. And Paul shows us that difference by comparing us to the differences we find among the stars. So go back a little further in this chapter and begin at verse 40, and we'll read through verse 44. He says, "There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is the other. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body." So Paul is saying that the stars are different. And in using that illustration, Paul is saying that we all will have a body in heaven that is fashioned after the body of Christ, but we'll all have our own distinct differences. So we see that it will be like the body of Christ. It will be a body of flesh and bone. Third, it will be a body filled with new knowledge. New knowledge. When we get to heaven, there will be people we've never met in our lifetime, yet we're going to know them all. We're not going to be walking around asking someone to tell us, now which one is Jesus? We'll all know. Or which one was Paul? We'll all know. Which one's Peter? Or which one's Abraham? We will know. In this glorified body, fashioned after the body of Christ, we will have the mind of Christ. This means we'll have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that time, all the things that took place in our life that we did not understand, all of those things will be made clear. And we will finally know why God did what he did. And we're going to see that God had a plan and a purpose for everything. As the old gospel song says, we'll understand it better by and by. We'll understand it better. But one of the things that I find most exciting about the new knowledge is that I will no longer be forgetful. You know who I am? I am Mr. You better write it down or you'll forget. That's me. But my problem is I write everything down on little pieces of paper to remember, and then I forget where I put the little pieces of paper. I do it all the time, right? You know that old saying, he'd forget his head if it wasn't attached to his shoulders? That's me. That's me. In that day, I will now have a head attached to my shoulders that will no longer be forgetful. And so this is going to be a body that is filled with new knowledge. So we see it's a body like the body of Christ. It will be a body of flesh and bone. It will be a body filled with new knowledge. And then fourth, and I've already touched on it a little bit, it'll be a body where the Spirit dominates. The Spirit dominates. There in verse 44, we read at the end of the verse, there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. At the present, Christians are in a body that is dominated by the flesh, by that old nature. And even when we become born again through faith in Christ, and we start telling this old flesh that it can no longer have its way, boy, it wants to pitch a fit. It wants to pitch a fit. It wants to dominate. This old flesh of ours that we live in is like a spoiled child. It wants to have its way. Have you ever seen a spoiled child that couldn't have its way, that took a fit? If you've never seen it, just stand in the checkout line at Walmart as a kid goes by the candy and his mom says no. Some of them kids, they pitch a real fit. But adults do the same thing. This old flesh wants to have its way, and when it can't, it wants to pitch a fit. But one day, the Lord is going to give us a body that is not dominated by the flesh. It's not dominated by that old nature, but instead it'll be dominated by the Holy Spirit. And this is what it means when it says that he's going to give us a new glorified body. One day, the flesh will change, and it's going to be led by the Spirit of God. Which brings us to two great things. First, the greatest surprise. The greatest surprise will be how fast the rapture of the church is going to take place. As we said, in the twinkling of an eye. And then the greatest blessing. The greatest blessing will be when the saints of God receive their glorified bodies and enter into the very presence of Christ. As we sing, what a day, glorious day that will be. But I do have to tell you this as we close. If you're not saved, then you don't have this to look forward to. You're not headed for heaven. You're not headed for a glorified body. But that can change this morning. That can change this morning if you will receive Christ as your Savior. if you will repent of your sins and call out to Christ and place your faith and your trust in Christ alone for your salvation, you can be ready. You can be ready to receive your glorified body when the Lord returns to call his church to heaven. And I would challenge you to take care of that this morning. Because judging from what we see going on in the world, I think we are closer to the coming of the Lord than we realize. And so you need to get ready. You need to get ready. I'll leave you with the words of the great prophet Amos. In Amos chapter 4, verse 12, Amos says this, "Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning and the great hope that we have beyond this life. We thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son to be our Savior so that we can have our sins forgiven, so we can have eternal life, and so that one day we can receive a glorified body and a home in heaven. We thank you for that. We thank you that we can be sure of that if we're trusting your Son as our Savior.